Good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549, the doxology. Worship is hymn number 668. Incline your ear, Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Guard my life, I am faithful. Give help to your servant who trusts you. Have mercy, O Master my God, for to you I continually cry. Give joy to the life of your servant, for to you, O Master, I dedicate my life. You, O Master, are good and forgiving, pouring kindness on those who cry out. Listen, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the sound of my plea. I call you when I am in trouble, for you answer me. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 209. We have a story to tell the nations. Number 209. We have a story to tell the nation.
Darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawn.
give to the nation that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. Here the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. I'm just doing my best to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, Lord, we want to thank you that we have this opportunity to come and worship you. And Lord, we are so thankful that you see that we're here because we desire to draw closer to you through the hymns that we sing, the prayers that we offer, the scriptures that we read. And Lord, you know that we're doing the best that we can do. And Lord, we know that you will honor that because you deserve the praise that we can give you. And God, we are doing that right now. Lord, part of that act of worship is to let you know about the needs and requests that we have in our lives. And Lord, you remind us again and again in your scriptures that no need is too small or too great because you always want us to come to you in prayer. Lord, we have challenges. You've given us responsibilities and duties. But God, sometimes we don't feel that we're up to those new responsibilities or to those challenges. And Lord, we confidently call upon you to give us the strength that we need to have. And God, we know that through you we are doing the right thing as we want to accomplish your will for our lives. But Lord, many times we just feel so weak and inadequate, and we need your strength. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives to give us the wisdom and the vision that we need to have to see through these challenges and come out on the other side victorious, not because of our own strength, but because of the strength that you give us in spirit and truth. Lord, we think of family members and friends. We think of fellow patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we ask that you give them that same wisdom and that same vision, that same power and strength of spirit as they too are facing challenges and responsibilities that you have given them, and they don't feel adequate or up to the task. Give them that clearness that they need to have to turn to you in all things. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 325, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Number 325, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music.
that for me your praise and glory shall not fail through all eternity. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have accepted our act of worship, that our hearts and minds are focused on the things of you. And Lord, I would ask that you would help me to maintain that focus so that your will for our lives can be evident through the Spirit that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me now, I pray. Amen. The scriptures that we have just read tells us that as followers of Jesus Christ, that we have to be committed to a message of reconciliation. But what does that mean? Reconciliation. And that we have that responsibility to tell others of that reconciliation that God has given each and every one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, that message needs to include the fact that God loves each and every one of us so much that he gave his only Son so that you and I have fellowship and communion with God by the forgiveness of our sins. So the message of reconciliation for us needs to be one of forgiveness. Forgiveness that we take and make a part of our own individual lives. You and I have made mistakes. You and I have done wrongs that we are ashamed of. But yet God tells us that he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile each and every one of us to himself. And he extends that forgiveness to us. But we need to accept it. We need to embrace that forgiveness. And what does that mean, to embrace God's forgiveness? It's understanding that God forgives us for whatever we have done, and that his mercy and grace is there for us to receive it. But many times we feel because of the wrongs that we have done, the sins that we have committed before man and before God, that we don't deserve that type of forgiveness. The answer to that question is yes. You and I don't deserve that type of forgiveness. We deserve to be punished. But yet God tells us, that's why I am sending my Son, my only Son, to die on the cross for the wrongs that you have done, for the wrongs that I have done, for the sins that you have committed, for the sins that I have committed, because he loves us. And he wants us to take that forgiveness and to make it a part of our lives. That debt that we have to repay before God has been repaid because of Christ. And we need to believe that. You need to believe that. I need to believe that. We need to be able to forgive ourselves for the wrongs that we have done because God forgives us, because God loves us. And when we understand that process within our own individual lives, and then and only then can we provide and give that same message of reconciliation to others. And that message will be seen by how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives. Understand this, even though if there are people in your life that will never be able to forgive you for what you've done, God forgives you. God forgives you, and God tells you that the wrong that you have done, the wrong that I have done, is no more. Because I want you, and God wants me, to give that message of reconciliation, that message that begins with forgiveness. And it's understanding that we should have an appreciation that the love of God has for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the reality of our lives is seen by whether or not we understand and whether we are telling others about the message of reconciliation that God has provided. The reality of our lives is in that message of reconciliation. And part of that is for us to understand that we also have to be able to forgive others that have wronged us. For you see, reconciliation is a two-sided coin. Not only is it for us, but God tells us that it is for others too. Because once we have understood that God has forgiven us, the next step is for us to be able to forgive those that have wronged us. And then the message of reconciliation becomes complete. And only then. And it is reflected in our attitude, in terms of how we see the world, how we filter through when we observe things in the news, how we filter through the actions of others within our own lives. It's the attitude of understanding that forgiveness always needs to be there. And because of our love for Christ, all of a sudden we have an ability, an aptitude to be able to forgive others because we know that God has forgiven us completely. An aptitude and an understanding that we thought we could never have because we were so down on ourselves. We felt so unworthy. We felt so burdened because of what we have done. But yet in that aptitude that God has given us, we see that that burden has been lifted. That you and I can get up and walk forward with our lives because we have been healed because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Just as Christ healed people in the New Testament in the same way, He tells us as we are healed of our sins to get up and walk forward because we no longer are burdened by the wrongs that we have done. And we have that aptitude to go forward because God wants us to respond in the action of our lives that we have incorporated and that we have appreciated the love of Christ. But I would say there's one more step that we have to take to understand the message of reconciliation. And that is not only just to appreciate the love of Christ, but to want the love of Christ in our lives, to desire the love of Christ, to wantonly seek it, to wantonly want it to be a part of our lives in everything we do and everything that we say. Because then in wanting it, we see that God holds us accountable. He holds us accountable in a good way. He holds us accountable because he wants our lives to be better than they were before. God wants your life and my life to be better than it was yesterday. And the way that we get there is when we hold each other accountable and understand that God holds us accountable as his followers, as his disciples. Because under no time in that accountability should you and I feel foreign from God, to be alien from God, to be set apart from God. On the contrary, during that accountability process, God reminds us of how much he loves us. That's why he wants us to hold us accountable. It's not a sense of punishment. It's not a sense of you've done a bad thing and I'm going to whip you. It's an accountability that shows, you know what, I love you and I want you to stay on the right track. I want you to stay on the right path. I want your journey in life to be a good one. I want it to be better than it was the day before. And we see it under that path of accountability, that we are not foreign or alien before God because of the forgiveness that he gives us. And then that message of reconciliation needs to include the whole idea that we trust God for the things in our lives. We trust God in our desire to follow God's will for our lives. For you see, we understand that within that message of reconciliation, that the whole idea is for us to be motivated by the love of God. Because trust has to be added to the forgiveness that God has given you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Are you trusting God in all of the circumstances that you have in your life? Are you trusting God that God truly does love you and accepts you just the way that you are? Are you trusting God to guide your next step? Are you trusting God to give you the strength that you need to have to face those challenges and to go through them? Are you trusting God that whatever the next step will be, whatever the next day will bring, that you go forth with confidence even though you don't know what that next day is going to be? Because you understand that you are trusting God. And the way that you know whether you are trusting God or not in that part of that reconciliation is, do you have fear about tomorrow? Are you afraid about tomorrow? If you are, then I would ask you to consider whether you're trusting God in those circumstances. Because when we trust God, the fear may not totally disappear. The anxiety that we may be experiencing may not totally be gone. But we know that it is tempered down because of the fact that we're looking to God and we're trusting in God. For whatever happens tomorrow is part of God's will and part of God's plan. And then we see within that message of reconciliation how much we need to think about the love of God that he has for us. Is God in your heart this morning? Are you thinking about God? Are you reflecting on how much you love God? Are you meditating on the understanding of that love? Because the Word of God tells us that you need to be thinking about God all of the time. All of the time, God needs to be a part of your life. because then you see that message of reconciliation. We have taken the forgiveness that God has given us. We've asked for power and strength to be able to trust God in all of the circumstances. And then as those two things come together, forgiveness and trust, we truly see the reconciliation message that God has for us, the true application of the love of Christ in our lives. And we become complete. We have a sense of confidence, of courage, of conviction, because we are convinced that God loves us for who we are. And then we see that benefit of reconciliation. We see as we are able to move forward what God has committed to each and every one of us. We become convinced, even though at times we may doubt the circumstances in our lives. We become convinced and committed that, God, maybe I can't see everything that's taking place in my life and how it's going to end up. But I know that I have received that message of reconciliation. I have received your forgiveness. I have put my trust in you. I know that I am one with you because of the Holy Spirit that is in my life. I am applying the love of Christ as I deal with other people, as I deal with my own self. I am convinced and committed that you are with me. I am reconciled. And then we see things that we have never understood before. Those questions, many of them, all of a sudden become answered because we're seeing circumstances and things that are taking place not through our own eyes, but through the eyes of God. And we see what it means to be one with God. We live a life that all of a sudden, the things that we thought were impossible all of a sudden become a natural way of doing things. A natural course of action to love each other. A natural course of action to forgive. Because we truly understand what that is to be reconciled to God. And we become and experience that love. Because that's how we are changed. That's how we are that new creation. That's how we can say that the old things have passed away and the new things have come. The new things of the reconciliation of Christ. And we understand that everything is from God. And that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be one with God. And he does not count anything against us. Because we have been made holy in righteousness because of Christ on the cross. And then we see the efforts that God has made in our own personal lives. And we're able to walk forward with our head high, not out of arrogance or out of self-righteousness, but out of humbleness and humility, because we know that the power of God is in our lives. And we are able to overcome those challenges that we are facing because of that message of reconciliation. It is my hope and prayer that all of us, that you and I embrace that message of reconciliation every day, because it gives us that desire to be one with God in all things. Amen. Please take a moment and prepare your hearts for communion as we desire to publicly say, Lord, we have heard that message of reconciliation. We have received it, and we are one with you. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you give us this opportunity to publicly testify to the fact that we want to be one with you through the act of communion. And Lord, we are just so thankful for your love. We are so thankful that you have reconciled us to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for that process of forgiveness, of trust, and of love. Amen. Receive from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 442. Have thine own way. 442. Give us every opportunity to have things your way in our lives. And God, help us to embrace that message of reconciliation so that you can be in our lives every day. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.